Even her knitting is going better than it used to now that she knows what it's for. She knitted a bear for Winnie, though a green one, not blue, and she embroidered the eyes to avoid a choking hazard. And this hat will be darling once she's finished. What a beautiful day. But all the days are beautiful. Thank heavens she had that adjustment to her brain, because she couldn't ask for more out of life. She appreciates things so much more than she used to, even when something goes wrong, such as the drain water spitting up into the dryer like it did yesterday with a full load in there, too. That would once have taken her mood way down. But after the plumber came and fixed it, she put that load through again with an extra dose of lavender-scented fabric softener, and it was just like new. And that's good, because her white cotton top with the peasant frill was in that load. And it's what she wants to wear to the Positron Survivors reunion. She'll see Sandy and Veronica there and catch up on their news. They're both doing well, according to their online pages. Sandy's in hair weaving. She has a real knack for it. And Veronica's with a speakers agency and goes around talking about how to work with your sexual orientation if it doesn't happen to fit in with society's norms. Just last week, she spoke to a gathering of shoe fetishists. And instead of giving her a bouquet or a plaque or whatever, they gave her the cutest pair of blue shoes with peekaboo toes and ginormous high heels. Charmaine can't wear shoes like that anymore. They give her pain in the Achilles tendon. Maybe she's getting middle-aged. Max and Aurora might be there as well. She hasn't kept up with them. There's still a little needle of hurt buried somewhere in the cushions of warm wishes she takes care to send their way whenever she thinks about them. Or thinks about Max. She still does think about Max from time to time. In that way. Which is odd, because those feelings about Max were supposed to have been wiped. What she tries not to think about is the work she used to do, back in her other life at Positron Prison, before her shadows got erased. If you do bad things for reasons you've been told are good, does it make you a bad person? Thinking too much about this could really spoil everything, which would be selfish. So she tries to put that side of things right out of her mind. Stan turns the hedge trimmer off. He raises the visor he has to wear because of the flying cactus prickles, takes off his leather gloves, wipes his forehead. "Stan, honey, want a beer?" Charmaine calls. She's not drinking herself. It wouldn't be good for Winnie.
"In a minute," he says. "Just got a foot more to do."
Charmaine thinks maybe they should take the cactus hedge out and put in a fence of woven sticks. But Stan didn't go for that idea. He says why fix it if it's not broke? Actually, he said, not fucking broke, and told her to quit nagging him about it. She wasn't nagging, but she let it rest. Let him keep on believing anything he wants to believe, because when he's grumpy, he won't have sex. And the sex is amazing. Way better than before. How can it not be, now that her brain's been reborn? Stan can still get a little impatient with her in daily life, even though everything's so wonderful. It's the pressures of his work. Charmaine will get some work, too, in a while. Maybe part-time. Because it's good to receive some validation from the real world. A dark hybrid car's pulling up in front of the house. Jocelyn gets out of it. She seems to be alone. Stan lowers his visor, switches on his trimmer, turns his back. "So, that's all right," thinks Charmaine. "It means he's not interested in Jocelyn, despite the way she's flashing her legs." "Jocelyn!" says Charmaine as Jocelyn walks across the astroturf toward her. "What a surprise! It's so good to see you!" She sets down her knitting, makes flailing motions in the lawn chair. Jocelyn's wearing a fashionable dark gray linen sheath, white Cuban-heeled sandals, a floppy-brimmed sun hat. "Don't get up," she says. "Cute baby." You can see she isn't much interested. If she was, she would have picked Winnie up and gone, "Oochie coochie," or some normal thing like that. But then Winnie might spit up on Jocelyn's expensive outfit, and that would not improve their relationship. Not that they have one. Charmaine hasn't seen Jocelyn since the wedding. She and Connor are in Washington doing something top, top secret. Or that's the version Stan got from Connor. "Can I get you a cold drink?" Charmaine says dutifully. "I can't stay a minute," Jocelyn says. "I just came by to deliver your wedding gift."
"Oh," says Charmaine hopefully. "How great!"
"But what is it? Jocelyn isn't carrying a package. Maybe it's a check, and that would be nice too, but not so tasteful. A personally chosen item is better, in Charmaine's opinion. Though not always."
"It's not an object," Jocelyn says.
Charmaine has a memory flash of Jocelyn's head when it was in a box. She used to think that head could read her thoughts. And here was Jocelyn doing that very same thing, only not in a box.
"It's a piece of information. About you."
"About me?" Charmaine says, dismayed. "Is this another trick? Is it some blackmail thing like those videos of her and Max? But those were supposed to have been destroyed."
"You can choose," says Jocelyn, "to hear it or not. If you hear it, you'll be more free but less secure. If you don't hear it, you'll be more secure but less free."
She crosses her arms, waits. Charmaine has to think. How could she be more free? She's already free enough, and she's already secure, as long as Stan has his job and she has Stan. But she knows herself well enough to realize that if Jocelyn goes away without telling her, she'll always be curious about what it was. "Okay, tell me," she says.
"Simply this," says Jocelyn. "You never had that operation, that brain adjustment."
"That can't be true," says Charmaine flatly. "It can't be true. There's been such a difference."
"The human mind is infinitely suggestible," says Jocelyn.
But now I love Stan so much," says Charmaine. "I have to love him because of that thing they did. It's like an ant or something. It's like a baby duck. That's what they said."
"Maybe you loved Stan anyway," says Jocelyn. "Maybe you just needed some help with it."
"This isn't fair," says Charmaine. "Everything was all settled."
"Nothing is ever settled," says Jocelyn. "Every day is different. Isn't it better to do something because you've decided to, rather than because you have to?"
"No, it isn't," says Charmaine. "Love isn't like that. With love, you can't stop yourself."
She wants the helplessness. She wants... "You prefer compulsion? Gun to the head, so to speak?" says Jocelyn, smiling. "You want your decisions taken away from you so you won't be responsible for your own actions? That can be seductive, as you know."
"No, not exactly, but it will take Charmaine a while to think this through. There's an open door, and standing just on the other side of it is Max. Not Max as such, because his brain really has been altered. He's bonded to Aurora now, and he'll be devoted to her forever. Not that Charmaine begrudges Aurora that, because she's suffered so much in her previous life. And doesn't she deserve a little out-of-your-mind ecstasy, like... never mind, like what? Better not to dwell on that in too much detail. The past is the past. So not Max, but a shadow of Max. A Max-like person. Someone who isn't Stan,
waiting for her in the future. That would be so destructive. Why is she even considering it? Maybe she ought to see a therapist or something. Of course not, she says. But I need...
Take it or leave it, says Jocelyn. I'm only the messenger. As they say in court, you're free to go. The world is all before you. Where to choose?
How do you mean?
Says Charmaine. This is Cassandra Campbell. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Heart Goes Last by Margaret Atwood. This program was directed by Christina Rooney. Executive producer, Orly Moskowitz. Text copyright 2015, O.W. Toad Limited. Production copyright 2015, Penguin Random House LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.